and the fake smile away. I think you know I'll be okay.
Really beautiful song. That is from the Eels from America. Love the horn arrangements on that track. And it's called the Grace Kelly Blues. A very apt song lyrically for what we're about to talk about, because she was perhaps one of the most acclaimed actresses of her generation and certainly one of the most beautiful. Grace Kelly started acting at the age of 20 and she soon became a Hollywood icon, giving it all up at the age of 26 when she married Rainier III, the Prince of Monaco. Princess Grace, as she came to be known, may not have realised that she would never act again for Hollywood, but her impact on fashion during her acting career and afterwards endures. So joining me in the conversation today is Tansy Curtin, Senior Curator at Bendigo Art Gallery, about their new exhibition, Grace Kelly, Style Icon. Welcome, Tansy. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us. Now, the lives of Hollywood actresses and what they wear, it's been long of interest to photographers and magazines, I suppose, but the enduring appeal of Grace Kelly takes that interest to another stratosphere, doesn't it? What was it about her that captured the imagination?
I really think Grace Kelly sort of fulfilled a specific role. I mean, we think about all the icons that existed at that time, Marilyn Monroe and all the other wonderful icons, but Grace Kelly had a really specific kind of role. She was quite demure, but they had this wonderful sexiness as well that people absolutely loved. And I think that's one of the things that's really kept her as an icon today even.
And what was different about her, I suppose, from the other Hollywood icons of the time? She was quite different, wasn't she?
She was. She was, as I mentioned, much more demure and kind of very private in her life. She didn't like to share all the details of her love life or her general life. But she obviously only completed 11 films in her career, but those were really successful films and she was much loved in those films.
But in terms of comparisons to, say, Sophia Loren or Marilyn Monroe, she was a bit of a different character.
She was. I think it's really to do with the fact that she was so kind of private in her affairs, but also so quietly sexy and also kind of representing the all-around American girl. And I think Americans particularly love that aspect of her.
Tell me a bit more about the time, because this is post-war, wasn't too long after the war. And I suppose I'm interested in how women were adapting to the changes in their lifestyles and how that was reflected in what they were supposed to wear and, you know, and to behave as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we think about the Second World War as being a time where women really had a lot more freedom. They were out there working, taking on the jobs of men. And then directly following the war, it was sort of expected that women went back to their previous roles as being wives and mothers, staying at home, wearing beautiful clothes and being on a pedestal and not actually actively engaging in society. And of course, that's certainly reflected in the fashion of the period, which is typified by the Dior new look, 1947 to 57.
What does that look like? Can you describe what that is?
Yes. So we see this sort of move away from freedom in clothes where, in fact, of course, in the war period, we see women wearing a lot of military-inspired clothes that were very useful, very free, and meant that women sort of represented a lot of what men were wearing as well. But in the Dior new look and this period directly following it, you get this sort of new kind of encasing of the female body. We've got moving back towards quite heavy corsetry. We've got the very nipped in tight waist, the full, very impractical skirts, and what we call a very feminine look today, of course.
I would definitely have struggled in the 1950s. So the exhibition itself, what is it that we see? How is it divided up? Because this is about Grace Kelly, but it's more about than just her acting life, isn't it?
That's right. And it's really coming back to that notion of her being an enduring icon. So it looks at her early career as an actress, and we've got some fashions from films. But then it looks at her as the bride and the wonderful trousseau outfits. And that's quite a story in itself, where she was, you know, buying dresses and outfits from across America to complete her wonderful trousseau. And then the final years as her in her life as a princess and the designers who worked with her and whose work she loved so much.
It's a bit of a coup, too, to get this exhibition in Bendigo, isn't it?
Absolutely, and we think it's going to be hugely popular.
So as you said, it's divided into three sections, Tansy, actress, bride and princess. Can we start with her acting career? Because there is some beautiful dresses and some beautiful outfits. And of course, this is how she rose to fame in the 1950s. She starred in films like Hitchcock's Rear Window and To Catch a Thief, also High Society. What costumes have you got from what films?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's very difficult to actually track down film costumes because quite often film studios reuse them for later films, or they might have just been lost. But we have actually three outfits from High Society. And the reason they've survived is that MGM, who was, of course, Grace Kelly's studio, they actually gave them all to her as a wedding gift. So they've actually survived as part of the family collection.
Oh, okay. So she managed to get the presents. I suppose it was a present from MGM.
That's right.
And what about some of the other films?
So we've got a beautiful dress from Rear Window, very iconic dress that everyone will recognise as soon as they see it, lovely black chiffon pleated dress, and of course designed by Edith Head, one of the great designers of studio costume design. And we've also got a dress from the film The Swan.
Okay. What does that one look like?
It's quite lovely. It's a period film, so it's set in about the turn of the century, also starring Alec Guinness. And it's a lovely, soft cotton dress, very, very feminine, kind of high-waisted, very much in that sort of early Edwardian style.
They sound amazing. On By Design, we're exploring the iconic fashion of Grace Kelly, and I watched so many of these films growing up and was always so bewitched by Grace and her beauty and her elegance. And it's wonderful to be joined by Tansy Curtin from Bendigo Art Gallery about their new exhibition, Grace Kelly Style Icon. All the links are on our website. We'll talk a bit about some of the collaborations with the designers in just a second, but there's been so much written about Grace Kelly's marriage to Prince Rainier of Monaco, and some of the most elaborate costumes in the exhibition is her wedding dress. Why is this story so enduring?
I think we all love the romance of you know, an ordinary one. Yes, she was a Hollywood starlet, but marrying into royalty, marrying into that wonderful. And of course, Monaco itself is quite unusual for us. It's a tiny little principality on the edge of France, and very romantic. We think about Monte Carlo and the casinos and the glamour, all of those aspects. And I think that really adds to the kind of intrigue we have for Grace Kelly.
And the dress itself was designed by one of her collaborators, I suppose, in the film industry, wasn't it?
That's right. It was designed by Helen Rose, that, of course, Grace Kelly worked with on a number of films, including The Swan, and, again, was a gift from MGM on her wedding.
Tell me a bit more about Helen Rose, because herself and Edith Head were both quite remarkable women who were costume designers in the film industry. What was the relationship between Grace and Helen?
Well, I think they had a very close relationship, and I know that both Edith Head and Helen Rose loved working with Grace Kelly and really enjoyed her style and helped her cultivate her own sense of style in film, but also on the streets in everyday life.
And for Edith Head, if you look up Edith Head, if you haven't seen an image of her, she had fantastic fringe. Tell me about her relationship with Grace Kelly, because I know she wasn't very happy that she wasn't chosen to do one of the wedding dresses herself.
No, that's right. She was a little disappointed that she wasn't selected to do the wedding dress. And in fact, Grace Kelly had two wedding dresses, one for the civil ceremony and one for the religious ceremony, which Helen Rose did both of. But I think that Edith Head loved Grace Kelly and thought that Grace Kelly was one of the greatest stylists in Hollywood at the time.
Did Grace, you talked a bit about it before, but did she have a stylist? I know a lot of Hollywood actresses today do for their life, I suppose, as well as for their films, but did she have a stylist for her general living?
I don't think it was common at that time to have a stylist as such, but I think that the relationship between costume designers and also even directors, Grace Kelly had a very close relationship with Alfred Hitchcock as well. I think that those sort of relationships really helped facilitate her own sense of style.
Okay. It's interesting that Grace never really acted again in Hollywood. In some ways, she actually wasn't really allowed to by Prince Rainier in Monaco as well. But do you think she was ahead of her time, or was she simply representative of her day through her clothes? How can we understand her through her clothing?
I think it's kind of a little bit of a tough one, because in lots of ways she is both and yet none. She's ahead of her time in that she was so sure of her own style that she was quite happy to follow the fashions to a degree, but also work out what suited her best and stick with that. And she did throughout her life. And by doing so, I think she created herself as an enduring style icon.
So it changes very much. So as the princess, this the third part in the exhibition, we move on from those 1950s gorgeous kind of new look Dior style clothing towards the kaftan era, don't we?
That's right. And Grace Kelly definitely embraced fashions of the period, 1960s and 70s. Some of those, of course, we'd think today, gosh, that's really outrageous. But, of course, very much of the period. And she loved having very ornate hairstyles as well. And that was very much part of her look.
For me, Tansy, I mean, I love the sunglasses in the exhibition. Grace Kelly's sunglass collection, they're just gorgeous. What's your favourite, I suppose, item of her costumes?
It's quite difficult. I too like the sunglasses because I like the idea of sunglasses and glasses being a fashion item. Because, of course, today we don't really think of that and people are sort of often ashamed to wear glasses. So I think it's lovely that Grace looked so fabulous in them and also was very proud of wearing them and looked so glamorous.
She sounds kind of remarkable. How long is the exhibition running for?
It goes until the 17th of June, so 11th of March, 17th of June.
Well, it's wonderful to get an understanding of some of the costumes and the design and the enduringness, there's a new word for you, of Grace Kelly. Tansy Curtin, thank you so much for joining us on By Design. And the exhibition, Grace Kelly Style Icon, opens at Bendigo Art Gallery on the 11th of March. And that is it for By Design for today. Links on our website, abc.net.au/rn/By Design. By Design is produced by Jan Ryan. Our sound engineer today is Anne-Marie de Bettencourt, and I'm Fenella Kernebone.